not going to be before you long today. I know every preacher tell you that when they stand before you. I ain't going to make no promises, but I'm going to do my best. Before you have your seat, how many of y'all are doing good on this 25th day, 24th day of our 31-day fast? Come on, somebody. It's all right. Let me tell you something about the fast that I found interesting, because normally pastors say, you hear pastors say, fast from food. Pastor said, fast from your greatest weakness. And I thought about that thing. I said, because obviously I don't do too good fasting from food. Y'all can laugh. Amen. I ain't the only one. Come on. But when I decided what I was going to fast from, it made me put fasting and praying into a different perspective. It made me look at things a little bit different. And like Pastor said, I'm not going to tell you what I'm fasting from, because y'all are judgmental people. Somebody can say amen. Amen. But I realized around about day 21 that I really don't need what I'm fasting from in my life. They say 21 days, it takes about 21 days to create a habit. And it was around 21 or 22nd day that I realized, like, I thought I needed this thing so bad. I had to have it every day. I found myself, it was in my mind. And by day 22, I hadn't even thought about it. And I realized God was saying, you didn't need it in your life in the first place. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but there's some things that might be in your life that don't, look, after this fast, don't pick it back up. If you're able to let it go for 31 days, you're able to let it go forever. Amen. Dear Father, we just ask you, God, to have your way this morning. God, as I decrease, that you may increase. God, I ask you, God, to allow this word to touch the hearts of your people this morning. God, I move myself out of the way, God, that you can get the glory this morning. Satan, I bind your minds from our children. I bind your minds from our adults. God, I allow you, God, ask you to allow the Spirit to penetrate, God, into the souls of the people this morning, that your word can come forth in truth and life. God, we just love you this morning, and we praise you. We give you all the honor and all the glory. And in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have any first-time visitors? We got anybody first time here? Raise your hand. Come on, y'all. We got one in the back. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. On behalf of Pastor and First Lady and the ministry, we thank you for choosing to worship here beyond measure. I know y'all about ready to have a seat, so I'm going to get the scripture going and we're going to take off. Scripture today will be coming from James 1, 22 through 24, New King James Version. Amen. Don't worry about the Bible. We're going to have it on the screen for you. If you would like one, raise your hand. But if you don't, we're going to make sure you get God's word. The word of God reads as follows. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forget what kind of man he was. You may have your seats. That scripture is short, but it's profound. And so many times we forget who God has called us to be. If I would have the title of this message today, it would be The Reflection of a Godly Man, Woman, or Child. The Reflection of a Godly Man, Woman, or Child. Reflection is an image seen in a mirror or a shiny surface. It also says it's a thing that is a consequence of or arises from something else. An example is healthy skin is a reflection of good health. A lot of times people say you're glowing. Well, a lot of times when we start eating better, we start drinking a little bit more water, we lean back off the sodas, we cut the fried foods out. People say, oh, you just got a glow about you, right? Something about you. Well, what it is you're eating better, you're living better, you're flushing your system out, right? So there's your skin and your body and your body shape, come on, somebody, is a reflection of good health. The question I will ask you today is, what do you see in your own reflection? Proverbs 27:19 says, as in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects the man. Truth be told, most of us, if we be honest, do not like the reflection that we see when we look in the mirror more often than not. And they don't get a lot of amens, I know. New Year, it's March. New Year's resolutions are over. Come on, right? If we would have said this in January the 1st, I've got a lot of amens, but we in March. So all those Planet Fitness workout, all that stuff, that's behind us, right? That $10 get in, get it, that's behind us, right? You know, we over here in March about to go in April, right? So to be totally honest, we don't always like what we see in the mirror, right? We don't always like what we see in the mirror. Sometimes we have to do a double take, right? You ever walk by the mirror and you're like, oh, Lord, what was that? You know how we do? We go over there and let me suck that thing in. Let me look. Right? We have to do a double take because, see over there laughing. Right? Because we don't like what we just saw. I'm here to tell you, don't get mad at the mirror. The mirror only gives back what it sees. The mirror only reflects what it sees. Don't get mad and try to and bust the mirror and take the mirror down and say, I need a slimmer mirror. You know how we do. We don't want that wide mirror. We go get that slim mirror. We got that mirror that's about that wide, slim, make us look slim from the side. Y'all know how we do. I'll be like, hey, this is honest God. I got one mirror that's slim. Then I got a mirror over by the bathroom. I look right here. I say, oh, you look pretty good today. Then I look over there. I say, boy, what in the world? I say, man, I ain't looking at that mirror no more. I'm going to look at this mirror right here. I ain't the only one. Somebody say amen. The double take can be physical or spiritual. Your reflection is based on fact. The mirror doesn't take your opinion. The mirror doesn't take you had a bad day. You had an argument. You just left the barbershop, saw Mo the barber. You thought you looked good. The mirror gonna tell you what you really look like, right? No matter how much you ask your wife, say, baby, how I look in this suit? She say, you look good, but the mirror gonna tell you about to bust out of it. Come on, somebody. Hey, look, they tell you look good because they love you, right? Well, I'm going to tell you, my wife, honest, she'd be like, no, baby, go take that back. Hey, we got an honest policy in our house. I'll tell her in a minute. Nah, baby, that ain't doing it. Nah. Matter of fact, that's one for Goodwill. That's for the church outreach. Go ahead and turn that in, right? That was back in 2005. We can't do that no more. We're in 2019. You know how you got that thing in your closet you just don't want to get rid of? And you know you should have got rid of it 10 years ago? Come on, talk to me. But it's still, that's that go-to outfit, Pop, but you can't wear it no more. Right, at some point, look, let it go. Bless somebody else with it. Right, yeah, look, I like it, but I can't wear it no more. It's taking up room. Right. Everybody know they got one go-to outfit that they can't wear. Amen. When I think about the physical and the spiritual, it makes me think about Saul. Saul's reflection was solely based on his actions. His actions said that he was an accuser. He was a persecutor. He was a murderer of God's people. This was the actions of Saul. And guess what? Saul knew it because Saul was speaking over in Acts 27, 9 through 11. And this is Saul currently speaking. It's Paul that was currently Saul. We'll get there. I know I got some Bible scholars, but if you're not, Saul and Paul, just to make it make sense, I'm not talking Greek, they're the same people, okay? We'll get there. But see, back when Paul was speaking over in Acts 26, 9 through 11, he says, "Indeed, I myself thought I must do things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison. Having received authority from the chief priests," you know how we do, we blame it on somebody else. Y'all know how y'all do, pastor said. You gonna tell somebody, pastor said, do it. You ain't even talk to pastor. We use pastor name more than a little bit. Pastor said, do this. Pastor said, do that. Just tell them, right, "Hey, will you do this for me? I need you to do this." But it sounds better saying pastor said it, don't it? Hey, look, you're getting to meet with pastor. I said, "I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't said nothing." Pastor said it has a little bit of authority, right? So Paul is saying the chief priests told him to do it. And then when the Christians were put to death, I cast my vote against them. It's some people in your life that when things start going wrong, guess what? You pick the phone up and you start saying, "Girl, I knew it was gonna happen." Right? You really don't say, "I wish it wasn't happened," but you co-sign that you knew it was gonna happen. So in essence, you're saying, "I'm glad it happened." See, when you got a vote, everybody votes counts. You may think your vote don't count, but when you're persecuting your brother or sister that's sitting in the same ministry with you, guess what? Your vote counts. When you're slandering their name and when you're backbiting and you're gossiping and you're turning them down, your vote counts. When the person who came for the first time to visit and they say how good Praise and Worship was, but you say, "Well, Daphne, she this and she that," guess what? Your vote counts. When they say, "Oh, outreach, oh man, they do such a great team," but you just don't know what I know about the leaders, right? Hospitality is great, but that Terry, though, she got, right? The pastor can preach, but I tell you, I remember when he used to live in Hillsboro, he did, right? Your vote counts. Be careful what you do with your single vote. Your vote can build up or it can tear down. Then Paul said, "And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blasphemy. And being exceedingly engaged against them, I persecuted them even to the foreign cities." Paul said, "I even hunted them down to persecute them." You ever had anybody in your life come looking for you to tear you down? It's a difference if we just happen to run into each other, but you picked the phone up to call me to tear me down. You made it your business to find me on Facebook. You made it your business to text me on Instagram. You made it your business to tear me down. You went out of your way to tear me down. Man, it's something different if something just happened to happen and you just happen to know a little something and you just happen to have a conversation. But when you go seeking, it's like first-degree capital murder. Murder, they got degrees of murder, but when you go leave your house with a gun caught and loaded and you head into the house and I go and I'm looking for that individual, I have now committed capital murder. I planned the act. We got to stop committing murder of our brothers and sisters in the church. We got to stop looking out to who we can persecute, who we can tear down, who we can destroy. Look in the mirror at ourselves a little bit longer. Look at our own reflection. Guess what? I got to get me right. I got enough issues going on in my life. I got to focus on getting Bass right. Right? Because I ain't got time to worry about what Sean doing. Bro, Robert, you got your own house, guy. You got your own wife. You got your own issues. I got mine too. Stop looking to destroy somebody. Paul only speaking of the reflection that he actually saw. But I'm here to encourage you, no matter what the reflection looks like today, kids, your reflection can be changed. When you change your position, when you change your mind thought, when you change the way you perceive something, then your reflection begins to change, because your reflection is only what's coming from your mind. We're talking about your spiritual reflection now. The road to Damascus experience changed his position forever. I'm going to give you just a little bit of peek. 1998, a situation I found myself, a road to Damascus experience changed my position and my reflection forever. Now when I look in the mirror, I don't see the man that I saw in 1998. I am no longer that man. Therefore, my reflection reflects who I am today. Right? Who I was and what I did and where I went and the people I did it with, guess what? This was then. Right? So when I look in the mirror now, I look to see who am I today. Let go of the past. Let go of what you've been through. We all been hurt. We all been lied on, talked about, cheated, backbagged, and all that stuff. We all have been there. We all been in churches where we've had church hurt, right? But you can't bring that from there to here. You got to leave that there. Guess what? Take a new slate. Pastor talked about this morning, relationships. Look, hey, we all have bad relationships. I was in one for 13 years before I found my queen. Right? But I had to leave that garbage. I had to leave the garbage in the dumpster. I couldn't go back to the wasteland and pick it up and say, I'm going to drag this on with me. I had to leave that garbage that I had been dealing with, that garbage that I was used to, the garbage that I had conformed to. I had to leave it where it was. Well, guess what? Because I was tired of wallowing in slop. Come on, somebody. Hey, a hog loves to wallow in slop. I was tired of being a hog. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. Hey, sometimes it feels good to wallow in this slop a little bit, but I got tired of wallowing in this slop. You got to ask yourself, look, do I want to continue to be a hog, or do I want to be a man and a woman? Hey, because God will let you be whatever you want to be. It's the beauty of God. Acts 9:3-5, talking about the road to Damascus experience, says, now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him and falling to the ground. He heard the voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Okay, a question. That's, I always thought, found that odd, Pastor. He said, who are you, Lord? You know who I am if you're calling me Lord, right? I always found that strange. What people do, they act like they don't know who you are. You know who I am. You speaking to me, you acknowledging me, you make contact, then you act like you don't know who I am. You know, people hold a whole conversation with me, and then in the end, they say, oh, yeah, I know you from the barber school. Why you didn't say that in the beginning? It will hold a 10-minute conversation. I'm talking to you like I don't know you, because, you know, I see people coming and going. I'm in and out. Oh, yeah, I know you from, you're Mr. Bath from the barber school, right? Well, I just told you that 10 minutes ago. But, well, you know what people want to do? They want to think they catch you up in something. Oh, I know you from Beyond Measure Ministries, right? They're going to talk to you for a few to see if they catch you up slipping. Oh, come on, somebody. You ain't got to go with me if you don't want to, but it's real. Catch you slipping. Catch you out with your jogging pants on, with your flip-flops at Walmart to see what you, how you're going to act then. That's what they're looking for. Y'all better be careful going up in Walmart. Amen. Ooh, let me move on. He was Saul, now he was transformed into Apostle Paul. He no longer persecuted God's people. He became a vehicle to save God's people. He preached the word. He lived the word. He became the mere reflection of God. See, in the natural, if you change your position, your reflection will automatically follow. If you shift, your reflection shifts. Try it in the mirror. If you stand still, your reflection is going to stand still. But if you move, your reflection is going to move. If you twinkle that pinky, your reflection is going to twinkle back at you. Your reflection can only be changed by changing who you are. Only the way you can change your reflection is changing the image that the mirror is reflecting. We must change who we are into who God wants us to become. There's no, I can put it in a lot of different ways, and we can put it in a bow and wrap it up, but at the end of the day, our reflection should only be what God wants us to be. Nothing else. Our children, nothing else. Only what God wants us to be. I'm about to take off now. Let's go. Amen. I was slow enough for y'all. I slowed down. Now I'm going to take off. Let's go. What do others see in your reflection? Woo, that's deep. See, we know what we see, and sometimes our vision and what we see, sometimes we can alter it. But the question is, what do others see in your reflection? Sometimes people are just a mirror. They only tell you what they really see. Like I said before, don't get mad at the mirror or the person. Your kids will be the best mirror you will ever need, because you know why? They are brutally honest. Woo-wee. I got to give it to her. I got to tear her up, right? Chrissy, tell me in a minute. Daddy, what you doing with them skinny jeans on? I said, girl, these ain't skinny jeans. I just gained 10 pounds. Hey, me and Tina, when we want to determine if what we got on look right, we call Chrissy in the room. Chrissy, how this look? Nah, that look old-fashioned. Nah, mama, your little tummy's showing. Daddy, your back's an old man, brutally honest. So tonight I gotta get honest with him. Joshua, no, Joshua, you know, he always been the slim one in the house, right? He's slim. Now he'll come and tell me, he'll come over here and pinch me on my little roll, right? Daddy, you got a little fat roll. I said, all right, boy, you keep eating them cheeseburgers. Grandma keep taking you. You swelling up, too. Look at them cheeks. You know what I do? I go back and pinch his little roll. He got a little roll now, Sean. Yeah, look at him back there. Y'all remember 2 years ago, he was slim and trim. Now we got to go up size on pants every 2 weeks, Grandma. You costing me money taking him to McDonald's every day after school. Come on, somebody. Slow down, Grandmama. I can't afford to keep him clothed no more. Gracious. Man, what y'all eat today? McDonald's? Tuesday, what you eat today? McDonald's? Wednesday, what you eat? McDonald's? Good gracious, Grandma. Good Lord. Take him to K&W somewhere. Let him get some vegetables. Told y'all, I'll get you, Josh. The people only knew what they saw and saw. Just like our kids. Acts 3 tells, this is what the people saw. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off the men and women, committing them to prison. Saul knew who he was, but guess what? The people knew who he was. You might know who you are, or you may not, but guess what? The people know who you are. We can walk around like we want things, but guess what? You can't put a facade on forever. Yeah, sooner or later, the real you is going to come out of that hiding behind that mask. Guess what? We can hide, but it's hard to hide all the time, right? It's hard to keep that facade up all the time. See, unfortunately, what we see in an individual is sometimes a reflection of a deeper issue in their life. See, the lying, the gossiping, the cheating, the drinking, the drugging, the fornication, a lot of times that stems from a deeper issue. See, people are hurt, they're confused, they're lost, they're crushed. So what we see is the reflection on the outside, right? But the reflection is the pain and hurt that's really on the inside. When you see them doing these things and you want to attack the person, I get that, right, to a certain degree. But guess what? You need to attack the pain that's on the inside. You need to show a little love on the inside. You need to show a little bit of compassion, right? You need to be able to say, let me be an ear. Let me see what's going on with you, how you go to church every Sunday, but at the same time you're doing these things on Monday. It got to be a deeper issue. Got to get below the surface. With too much surface people. What you see on the outside is just a reflection of what's really on the inside. Could be abuse, physical or verbal. It could have been raped, molestation, neglect, rejection, inferiority, jealousy, incompetence, lack of self-esteem. It can go on and on. The same goes for our children. Bad grades, disrespect, talking back, drugging, sexting, etc., etc. We want to attack the child and the issue and take the phone. Guess what? If you take their phone, they're going to go get somebody else's phone and sext. I'm not going to let you out of the house. Guess what? They're going to get out of the house. Let's deal with the deeper issue. Is there a father in the house? That's the issue. I love what Brother O'Day said. We're going to start this mentor program. Guess what? Because I've come from a fatherless house. I know what it is to have a fatherless home. I know what it is to have four hard-headed brothers, and we out here doing everything on a Sunday. Mama's going to work, minimum wage job, trying to make it work, trying to put shoes on her feet, trying to put clothes on her back, trying to feed us. I know what it is. And we want to attack the mother. Yes, sometimes, yes, parents play a part, but guess what? Sometimes it's just a consequence of the environment that the child is in. I can't be home with them. I can't afford to pay a babysitter on minimum wage. I can't afford to pay a babysitter on $10 an hour. Let me keep it real. You can't afford to pay a babysitter on $15 an hour. Yeah, let's keep it real. You're going to pay the babysitter, you'll keep the lights on. You're going to keep the lights on. Guess what? The oldest brother is going to watch over the little brother. And you know that's a mess. I can speak from experience. Hot mess. I got beat up. Woo! Hated my older brother for a long time. That joker boy would tear my tail up when mama left the house. And guess what I do? I tear up Motus up under me. I tear his tail up. I'm going to take this out on somebody. Hey, look, he's going down the line, first lady. Hey, I'm getting whooped. You getting whooped. And Mo was hard-headed, boy, hard-headed. Hey, boy, I hit him with it, boy, and chase him around that house. I mean, we had a house that went in circles. I catch that joker, hit him with a sickle. Then he take it out on my baby brother. We 4 years apart. Four boys, 4 years apart. So we all look. It ain't like we was the same size, bro. The older one could always beat the little one. Exposing our kids to the things that they not should not see or hear a lot of time is the issue. Having conversations with your children as if they're your friend and not your child is the issue. Oh, talk to me, somebody. Hey, I get tired of hearing, why, daddy? Why? Because I said so. I give you a couple of whys after that little, all right, just shut up. I don't want to hear it no more. You know why? Because I said so. Why? Because I feed you. I clothe you. I put food. I put a roof over your head. I shelter over your head. I provide for you. That's why. Yeah, I ain't going to talk to John. Me and him more. Y'all know, boy, I'm a debater. He's one, too. He got it straight from me. We and him go at it. After about 2 or 3 minutes, I'm like, boy, just shut up. Just stop. Stop while you're here, bruh. Bruh, just stop. Right? So I have to change and make sure that he understands I'm the father. Right? The buck stops with me. Okay? Listen, parents, we can't come down that level. Right? Kids, y'all know I love all of y'all. Y'all know I love you, right? But at some point, we got to keep flying up here at 30,000 feet, right? We can't come down here, right? But guess what? Because their mental capacity has not reached the capacity of an adult to a 9-year-old. A 5-year-old should not be trying to hold a conversation with you as an adult. That's the issue. That's the issue. I'm going to be, my 13-year-old should not be talking to me like he's an adult. Chrissy, look, I'm going to tell you something. Me and Chrissy got this, what they call it? I'm about to tell a word up. When you can think something, you got to say it. Telepathy? Telepathy. Let me give it to you. I'm going to give it to y'all. Look, see, me and Chrissy got a connection. Chrissy come out of the room. She like these little tights on. She walk past me. She'll stop. I look at her. Okay, Dad, I'm going to go change. I ain't got to say nothing. They go to the Goodwill, pal, right? I don't have to say a word. She know we got a connection. Ain't even no need to go talk to mama about it. Ain't no need to talk. Look, you know, take them off and go ahead and get you something else, right? Because she know, and look, ain't nothing to talk about. Bullying, peer pressure. See, it's our responsibility as men and women of God to connect with our children. Mentoring is great, but guess what? I got to connect with Joshua. Right? That's great. I told Brother OJ, I love it. Look, let's work with him. But guess what? I got to connect with my own. I got to be the first one to make a connection with my child before I can expect somebody else to make a connection with them. It starts with me. We all have children here at BMM. These are our children. Even if they're not yours biologically, they're your children. Guess what, visitor, your first time, these children belong to you. Once you come in here one time, these children are beyond measure belong to you. They belong to me. If I see them, if I can connect with them, if I can help them, guess what? It's my godly responsibility. It's my godly duty to connect with the children here at this ministry. Not to speak at them, but rather to speak with them. It's okay to listen sometimes. You'll be surprised what you hear. Woo! I'm blown away sometimes when I listen to my kids speak. When I really stop what I'm doing, pause the TV, and sit up in my chair and listen to Joshua speak, he blows my mind. He's very intelligent. Very intelligent. A little conniving. A little slick. But he's intelligent. And a lot of the stuff that he speaks to me about is he says, he kind of almost put it in a way like, well, I see you do it. Why are you telling me not to do it? I know this hurt a little bit this morning. He reflects some of the things that I do, right? Let me give you an example. 90.1 A&T station plays gospel from, 6 to 10. So a lot of times when I leave in the morning, I have it on, right? And then when I get back in the car, it's after 10, they playing whatever, right? So Joshua get in the car, I pick them up, I turn the radio on, and whatever's playing is playing. He say, Daddy, why are you listening to that? I thought you said we should listen to this kind of music. Basically what he's saying, Daddy, you're not leading by example. I have nothing to say but you. You're right, son. I'm not going to try to make up an excuse, right? Right? When we make up excuses, try to justify our wrong actions, we're teaching our kids that it's okay to do it as long as you can justify. Woo, it's a little deep. I'm about to wrap it up. I'm sorry, but it's deep. Right? They're looking at us to set the example. When I listen to him, sometimes he puzzles me, but it gives me a different perspective. It gives me a peek into his world. Parents, slow down. Take a peek into your child's world. I know they don't know this. Sometimes him and Chris is in the room. I'll sneak down the hall, and I'll stop, and I peek, and I'm quiet, tippy-toeing. Guess what? I know how you act around me. I want to see how you act when I'm not in your presence. I've sat there as long as 20 minutes trying to hear their conversation. Not trying to spy on them for negative or malice reason, because I need to know what's really in your mind. Right? We can't connect with our kids if we don't know what they're really thinking. Guess what? I walk up behind him and look over his shoulder. What's on your phone? Guess what? I need to know what you're looking at. I need to know what you're watching. Guess what? Because if you're watching something that is inappropriate, yeah, I'm going to take it, but we're going to have a conversation about why I'm taking this. Right? Take time to peek into your children's world. What others see in our children, this is about to hurt. Brace yourself. What others see in our children can possibly be a reflection of their parents. Our children are the ultimate mirror. Mm. Reflections are a peek, and I'm wrapping up. Reflections are a peek into your future. A reflection is just a peek into your future. 1 Corinthians 13, 11 and 12 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. He said, but when I became a man, I gave up childish ways for my teenagers. Y'all know what I tell you when I come to Impact? And look, it's a time to play, a time to do all that. But now let's be serious. 15, 16, 17, 18, it's a time. Come on, y'all, let's bring it together. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part that then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Your reflection is only a glimpse into your future, your harvested potential. When something is harvested, meaning it's stored up. Everybody in this room has potential that is stored up on the inside, that is ready to be manifested. But we got to allow it to be tilled. When you look at that reflection, sometimes God will just give you a glimpse of your future. Sometimes God will give you a glimpse by giving you an opportunity to have an interview for a promotion. You might not get it, but he allows you to sit in the rooms with the CEO and the CFO. Guess what? I got a glimpse to where I'm going. Come on, somebody. Don't always, because you don't get the job, don't mean the job ain't on the way. It just meant that job, that corner, that office just won't meant for you. But guess what? They're making a bigger one down the hall with your name all on it. Sometimes God gives you a glimpse into your future. Heard a preacher say, and I always make sure I don't plagiarize. I heard a preacher say, God will give you an idea, but very seldom he supplies you with the details. Woo. Me and Pastor go back and forth. He called me with an idea. Next week I call him with an idea. Guess what? I mean, we back and forth for ideas. And guess what? Both of us struggle with the details. I come home with my wife, baby, we going to do this. She said, okay, great, how we going to do it? I ain't got the details. I got the idea. God gave me the idea. Look, we're going to get the details later, but I got the idea. Let's do it. Go with me. Hook up. I need some details. Tell them first later, I need to hear some details. Come on, me, Yasha. I need some details. You going to take what out of what account to do what? You going to give me some details. Faith does not work in details. Faith don't work in the details. That's what makes faith so powerful. God is saying, let me worry about the details. You just step out like I told you to step out. You just walk like I told you to walk. Kids, you just do what I told you to do. You know God is speaking to you. Don't worry about the details. If God told you you're going to be an athlete, you'll be an athlete. You're going to be a scientist, you're going to be a scientist. You're going to be a judge, a lawyer, a doctor, an entrepreneur, own your own business. It don't matter. You walk in the fullness of what God has given you. Talking to my children, young and old children in here. We're too worried about when, where, and how. God says, let me worry about that. You just keep walking and don't look back. God is saying, I give you the details. If I give you all the details, I'll blow your mind. Woo. He said, if I give you too much, bro, Ralph, I'll blow your mind. Huh? If God would have told you 10 years ago you were going to have Charlene sitting beside you right now, he would have blew your mind. Huh? You never would have thought you would have had a queen, a Nubian queen sitting beside you in beyond measure. If you were told you would have been in beyond measure today, he would have blew your mind. Huh? God is in the mind-blowing business. You must love your own reflection. I'm closing. I'm ending right here. This is it. You must learn to love your own reflection. Your reflection belongs to nobody but you. Nobody else has your reflection, bro, Alex. Nobody. Nobody. Mom Patsy, your reflection is tailor-made for you. Kids, embrace who you are. Love who God has made you. Jamari, I love you for who you are. Trayshawn, I love you for y'all. I don't want you to be nobody else. My son tells me a lot of times, Joshua tell me, quick, Daddy, you want me to be somebody else? I thought y'all would tell me to be myself. Yeah, I want you to be yourself, but you need to model yourself a little bit more after your daddy. Somebody catch that. Not only the kids, but adults, embrace your reflection. Love who God has made you. If there's room for growth, allow God to do the nurturing and the cultivating. There's nothing like growing with God. Nothing. The only reflection you should see in the mirror is the reflection of God. Genesis 1, 26 through 27 says, Then God said, Let us make Shannon in our image. He said, let us make brother Nick in our image. He said, while we at it, let's make Tish in our image. I'm going to throw brother Walker in there a little bit too while we're making them in our image. Not only in our image, but let's make them in our likeness. Likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them both. When people see you, they should see love, kindness, meekness. That's a tough one right here. Forgiveness, mercy. Dee gave me this one this morning. I thought was so good. Compassion. We struggle with giving compassion. We want it, but we struggle giving it. We're about a second chance. How many of us has had more than a second chance? I just ask you this morning to, if you don't like what you see in the mirror, ask God to give you the tools to change it. Ask God to give you the strength, the wisdom. It's tied into our 31 days of prayer and fasting. That's how you change that image in the mirror. That's how when you look at that mirror, you don't have to do a double take. You don't have to worry about what your kids see, and you don't have to worry about being somebody in church and somebody else different at work and somebody else different at the grocery store, somebody else different. Oh, when I go to my mother-in-law's house, I go to my daddy's house. We trying to be all these people. God is saying, be you. Be who I made you. And let me grow you from the inside. All standing. I just want to do a corporate prayer. I'm not going to put nobody on blast this morning. We're going to go home. You don't have to raise your hand. I just want you to connect. If you know there's some things about yourself that you feel like you need to change, if there's some things in your spiritual mirror that you see day after day that you don't like and don't want to see no more, I ask you to go with me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you, God, first of all, to say thank you. God, I thank you, God, for Family Sunday, God. Thank you for us allowing us to come together here, God, on one accord, God, with our children, mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters, uncles and aunts and grandmas and granddaddies. God, I thank you for this opportunity, God. God, I pray for the individual, the child, the adult that's in the audience, that's in the sanctuary, that may be hurting and tired of putting on that mask and tired of being somebody and wanting to be somebody and trying to be somebody that you not have called them to be, God. I say a special prayer for that individual this morning. God, I ask you to touch them right now on the inside out. Everything that the devil has told them they can't be, God, I rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, we spread love this morning, God. We spread mercy and grace, God. We just spread confidence, God, into our children, God. God, let them know that they're more, God, than a conqueror. God, let them know that they're the head and not the tail. God, they're lenders and not borrowers. God, they can be anything that they put their hearts to. God, bless this ministry in a whole, God. Cover everybody that's here. Everybody connected, God. Everybody that drives through the parking lot. Everybody who, God, walks through the sanctuary doors, that walks into the vestibule, God. We spread the blood of Jesus over their life. Bless our youth department, God. Bless our youth pastor, God. Bless the leaders and the workers and the teachers, God. Bless everybody, God. Bless beyond measure in a whole, God. Bless our pastor, God. Bless First Lady, the First Family, God. Bless beyond measure in its totality. God, if there's anything inside of us, God, does not line up with you, God, we ask you to take it away right now, to purge us, to cleanse us, to make us whole. God, we love you. God, we thank you. And we praise you. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love you. I thank God for you. And I pray that God continue to bless you, your households, your family, especially your children, and everything connected to you.